1 Samuel 1, verse 12, it says, and it happened as she continued praying. What did she do? What did she do? Tell somebody, do not stop. Keep praying. Tell him, keep praying. Tell him the breakthrough is in consistency. Tell him, continue. And it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mount. Tell somebody they're going to watch you. Tell them, tell somebody again. They're going to watch you. You ever know when you worship in churches, people watching you? Got some spies in church, you know. They don't praise, they don't worship, but they're spies. It's like they're on an assignment. I'm just kidding, amen? But it's true, man. They got some watchers in church. So watching is normal. Tell them you're biblical. Say, hey, watchers. You're biblical. Because Eli was watching, amen? He watched her mouth. Now, Hannah spoke in her heart. Where did she speak? Hannah spoke in her heart. Only her lip moved. That's what I want, right? Only her lip moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. What he thought? Come on, let's pay attention. Follow this. We're going somewhere this morning. So Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah said, no, my Lord. What she said? I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Where is my musicians? I have poured out my soul unto the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman. For out of the abundance of my complaint. Of my what? Anybody ever been stricken with a complaint? Anybody ever been stricken with a need? Anyone ever been sorrowful in spirit? Anyone ever felt like you're at the end of the road and you're about to give up? Anybody ever been on your face and said, mercy, please? It's for life I'm begging. If I don't get the breakthrough now, I think I'm about to go under. God, if you don't show up now, I think I'm about to break. I feel like I'm at my breaking point and I'm about to give up and I've had enough. Help me, Lord. Is there anybody, am I talking to some real people this morning that have went through the fire, that have went through the flood and thought it would have taken you out, but right there and then God showed up and he delivered you and he made a way. Come on, is there anybody here that has ever faced a troubling situation and God, you're begging and you're crying and you continued and you continued? Oh, hallelujah. Give me more volume. Everybody, when people see you worshiping and you're crying out in church, they're like, why is she crying like that? Why is she on her face every Sunday? Why is she looking as if she's at the end of the road? Why is he speaking in tongues? Why is she crying out in a language I can't understand? But I want to tell you today, Hannah was in a desperate place. Hannah need a move. Hannah need God to show up for her. Is there anybody in here that is saying, God, I need you to move in my situation. I need you to turn things around. I need you to shake the ground. I need you to shake my enemies down. Oh, come on, somebody. Somebody get desperate. Somebody get desperate. You see what happened here? You may be seated. Hannah was in a tough situation. Hannah was in a place where she was tormented. She was married to a man by the name of Elkanah. Elkanah had two wives. He had Hannah, who he loved, but he also had Peninnah. Now, the story is, Hannah could not have children But Penina had a lot. And every time Penina would come and go, hey, Baron Anna, what's up? Where's the babies at? I thought you were going to give some babies this year, but where's the baby? And she keep on, the Bible says that God had shut up Hannah's womb. So she was being taunted, and she was being teased, and she was being ridiculed by her enemies. I want to tell you, do not look on the productivity of your enemies and discount yourself. Do not let your enemies taunt you. Do not let your enemies scare you. Because sometimes the Bible says we look at the heathen and they look blessed. We look at the ungodly and they look like their families are intact. And we look at them and they're climbing the ladder of success. But I want to tell somebody this morning, get ready, get ready. If God is for you, who can be against you? Bible says in the fullness of time, there is your fullness of time that is coming. But I want to encourage the church this morning, it is time to ignore the crowd. It is time to ignore your enemies. It is time to not listen to voices. It is time to cry out to God. It is time to get desperate to see your breakthrough. So Hannah went up to the temple. So the temple was in Shiloh, a place called Shiloh. And every year they would go up to the temple to worship God and to give their yearly gifts unto the Lord. Now Elkanah loved Hannah. He said when he would give, let's say this is the amount of offering that he would give to Penina, he would double it and give it to Hannah because he loved Hannah. You know, the things that you love in life, sometimes it comes with some trouble. The people you love in life, sometimes it comes with some trouble. I want to tell you about Leah. There was Leah and there was Rachel in Jacob's life. The Bible said he loved Rachel, but Rachel had trouble. She could not also produce children. So the things that you love, sometimes you are tested. Relationships that you love, you have a child that you love, it's going to be tested, because the devil knows how to bring in frustration, how to bring in chaos, how to set up walls. I want to talk to somebody this morning and tell you, when you love something, watch out. Trouble is with it. But God. I said, but God. I said, but God. So Hannah is in the temple and Hannah is there worshiping God. But Hannah has a need. You see, sometimes when we come into church and we observe people crying out to God, we observe people crying, we observe tears, we observe body language, we observe people on their knees and on their face, we wonder why. But I want to tell you, we all have needs. And some of us, our needs move from needs to cries of our heart. Now, Hannah did not step to the place of prayer and stepped out right away. The Bible said she continued in prayer. I want to tell the church this morning that there is breakthrough when you continue in prayer. I tell you, what happened was Hannah was there and she wasn't worried about the people around her. She wasn't worried that Eli was looking at her. You know, sometimes when you come to church, you may get intimidated when someone looks at you. I want to encourage you, whenever you have a need, the Bible says his ears are open to the cry of his children. Hannah knew that. So she found herself in the house of God and she brought her trouble to the altar. She didn't take her trouble to Tom, Dick, and Harry and Sally. No, she did not look for Jenny to get some tainted counsel. No, she went into the house of God and she dropped on her face and she said, God, I'm in trouble. My enemies are scraping me with their paws of discouragement, their paws of degrading me, their paws of shaming me in the public. I am known as the barren girl. Elkanah is working because he had babies with Penina. So the trouble is mine.
So she's there and she's crying and she's crying and she's crying. And Eli observes her. And this is Eli's conclusion. Do you know sometimes we misjudge people in church? We misjudge people. People crying out. And you said, you foul spirit, get out. This time the person is just so broken and so desperate, and they're bringing their sorrows to God. With Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are labored and heavy laden. He said, come. The church is a place where you come and you lay your sorrows down. The house of God is a place where the doors are open. When you bring your burdens, you lay it at the altar of the Lord. Mighty God, I don't know if you were here last week and there was something, one of the young men, we took him and we lay him on the altar. I want to tell you, bring your troubles to the altar. So Hannah is praying and she's praying and she wouldn't stop. And I could probably imagine most people were done with their prayers and their offerings. But Anna was saying, I am not going to leave until you move in my situation. I'm not going to the right. I'm not going to the left. I'm standing my ground. And it doesn't matter how I see. I'm going to ignore everybody because I need my breakthrough. My breakthrough affects me. My breakthrough don't affect you. And it's all right. We got to start living a personal life with God. Get personal, intimate, and close with Almighty God. Hannah said, I'm staying here. And she's there moving her lips, but no words are coming out because her heart's cry was going up to God. She was moving the lips, but the heart was crying out. Sometimes there does not have to be words. There's certain things that hurt so bad that you cannot break it into English. Situations hit you and there is no words to use to describe its effect on your life. So God listens to the cries of your heart. So Eli says to Hannah, hey woman, how long are you going to drink and come to church? How long will you be drunk? Because her behavior was of someone that was drunk. So he came to the conclusion that she was full of wine. She said, listen to me, Papa. I did not drink any wine nor intoxicating drink. I am a woman of sorrow. I am a woman of sorrow. If you know what goes on in my village, how they talk about me, how they ridicule me behind my back, how they say all manner of evil and things that are not true about me. Maybe they said Hannah's womb is blocked because she flirted around, because she messed around when she was young. But the Bible says that God, I said, God had shut her womb. Listen, Lazarus was in the tomb for 4 days. Jesus said, this is not unto death, but this is for my glory. I want to tell you, church, when things are taking its time to come to pass, wait on God. Be of good courage. He will strengthen your heart. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He will bring it to pass. Where are 10 people that would say, I'm waiting? I need 10 people that will say, I'm waiting on God. My breakthrough is sure. But you got to get desperate. Hannah wasn't worried about what Eli concluded. Hannah didn't worry if Penina was looking at her. Sometimes you got to learn to worship with your enemies around. I say you got to learn to worship with your enemies around. You got to get a personal relationship with God, even if your enemies are in the room. And you got to worship him with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit praise his name. I said my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit praise. She wasn't crying with her words, but her spirit man was crying unto God. We need to move from lip service and come into heart service. Jesus said, I'm looking for true worshipers who will worship me in spirit I'm going to say that again. Sometimes we come to church and we try to look at the people that can talk very well and we put them to do the work of God. But I want to tell you, God is looking for men and women. Oh God, he said, you worship me with your mouth, but your hearts are far. God is not looking for lip service. God is looking for people that would have a heart connection with him. Tell somebody, ignore the crowd. Tell them, ignore the crowd. And just bring your petitions before God. And when I was looking at this, the Spirit of God said, son, it has not changed. Because in Acts 2, when I poured out my spirit upon the church, everyone around thought that they were drunk. Listen, I want to tell you, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, he might make you a little different. I said, when the Spirit of God comes upon you, he's going to give you a tongue that you did not have. He's going to have you shakadobasandarabakaya. He's going to have you speak, and men's going to want to know what you're saying. But it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And this life I now live in the flesh, I live it by the faith of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Somebody needs to walk in spirit. Somebody needs a spirit birth. Jesus said, you must be born again. You must be born of water. You must be born of the Spirit. 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 But they did not bow to the conclusion of the crowd. When the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost, they thought the apostles were drunk and the 120. But then the Bible continued. And it said, Peter stood up with the 11. What he did? He stood up. He said, you think I am drunk, but let me tell you what is happening here. He said, this is what you see. There is evidence. I want to tell you, we need to move to a place of evidence where people can see God in our life. I speak to Faith Church and Faith Nation this morning. God is calling us up to a level of evidence where the world may know that there is a Christ that lives in us. There's not only a Christ on the inside, but the greater is working through us. The greater is moving us. The greater is elevating us. He's causing us to work his signs and work his wonders in the earth. God is calling us up to another level. Throw your hands up and say, I'm going to a new level. I'm going to another level. Level of prayer, level of word, level of anointing, level of fellowship. I'm moving. Come on, I get somebody moving. I am moving. I am moving in the spirit. I am not watching the crowd this morning. I'm here to move. I'm here for my breakthrough. I'm here for my elevation. I'm here for my shaking. I'm here for my breakthrough. I'm here for my elevation. Holy Ghost, take me. Holy Ghost, break me. Holy Ghost, shape me. Get desperate. Get desperate. Too often we're worried about what people say. You may be seated. The Bible said the fear of man is a snare. You want to be stuck? Follow people. Hey, you want to get stuck in life? Follow friends. Yeah, Kande Messiah. You want to get stuck and not move? Listen to what everybody got to say. I want to tell you, find a good brother or sister in the faith and say, brother or sister, teach me to breathe. Teach me to pray. Teach me to read the word. Teach me to fast. You know, we had a great week this week. Tim, come on here. Run quick. You know, last week Tim came to the altar and the Spirit of God gave him a word and says, it is time for you to begin fasting. And this Wednesday was the first time he has ever fasted. Can somebody give the Lord a hand? God bless you. I want to tell you, it is time for us to move into spiritual things. We come to church, we sing, dance, shout, we give, but we never grow in the grace of God and grow in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior. It is time for us to quit the world's way and do it God's way. You've tried it the world's way. God said, do it my way. He said, turn. He said, come out from among them. Be separate. Touch not the unclean thing again. Then I will be a father unto you. You shall be my son. You shall be my daughter. Come on, somebody. Say, I am going. Say, I am going. Say, I am going. Do I got anybody that's ready to go? Yes. Peter said, they're not full. They're not full of wine. They're not full of wine. But the mistake they said, in verse 13, the people said they're full of new wine. They're full of new wine. And Jesus had told them, hey, watch this. Sometimes a heathen will speak things that they don't even know that God is speaking through them. They meant to pull you down, but God have them use to elevate you. They were trying to hold you back, but God used them out of their mouth. They're going to make a way for you. I want to tell you today, the people said they are filled with new wine. What this was, what the day of Pentecost was, the new wine that Jesus had promised. He said, I'm going to the Father, but I'm going to send you a comforter. I'm going to send you a guide. I'm going to send you a friend. I'm going to send you a helper. I'm going to send you someone that is living on the inside of you. So say, I got new wine. I got new wine. But what Jesus said, he said, you can't put new wine in old wineskins. You cannot put new wine in old wineskins. Because new wine is too strong. It is too potent. It is too powerful. It is going to rip the old wineskin. So you need to get a skin that can facilitate what God is pouring out. Let me help you. Let me tell you how you get new wineskins. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he becomes what? A new. What he becomes? What he becomes? A new creation. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. So then, once you're in Christ, all of a sudden, you are now fit to carry the new wine that God wants to pour out. You get new wine, new wineskin, by being in Christ. So now you can carry what the Holy Ghost wants you to carry. Tell somebody, ignore the crowd. When you need your breakthrough, you got to ignore everybody. When you want to move to a new level in God, everybody's not going to want to come. And I'm talking to those of you who have family members. You're saying, Pastor, my wife don't want to come. Pastor, my son don't want to come. Pastor, my kids don't want to come. Pastor, my husband don't want to come. I want to tell you, but hey, Jesus said, I didn't come to always bring people together. There are times there might be a separation, but you step out. You step out on faith. Step out in faith. He promised that I will save you and I will save the household. So you come out and be desperate like Hannah to see a change and to see a shift and to see a shake. And guess what? God said, I'm going to do it. I know countless people that God saved us the first, and today their family members are in the house. As he passed the mic in the back, when he got saved, it was just him. But look, his cousin is sitting there, and even his mama is sitting there. I want to tell somebody, step out on the waters. Do not be afraid. Do not look at faces and let faces curtail your prayer. Don't let faces curtail what God wants to do in your life. Tell somebody, I got new wineskin. I got new wineskin. So the first time you ignore the crowd is when you need a breakthrough. But sometimes we get the breakthrough and then we join the crowd. We get the breakthrough and then all of a sudden now you're blessed. You're looking for friends. You're looking to please people. You're looking to be in the clique. First, you were radical and you didn't care who joined you. But all of a sudden now you're comfy. You are comfy and you become comfortable and then you begin following the sayings of man. Let's go to the word. Let's look at a man that didn't care what level he was. He all he wanted to do was to praise God. 2 Samuel chapter 6 verse 16. And it says, now as the ark of the Lord, the what? Ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michael, Saul's wife, looked through the window. What she did? I told you people are watching. Remember I told you they're watchers? Yeah, they're watchers everywhere. People are looking at you and they say, oh yeah, she's going to church now. Don't worry, she'll only go for 3 weeks and then she will quit. Oh yeah, yeah, they're praising God now. But don't worry, wait when trouble hit them. They're going to go back to the bottle. Oh, don't worry, he think he quit smoking pot. He'll be right back here with us. Listen, they're watchers. There are people that are plotting your demise. Michael, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw, who she saw? King David leaping and twirling. Now, this man wasn't just dancing. This man was leaping up, twirling. He was going, twirling, twirling, and leaping, and twirling, and twirling, and leaping. That's what he was doing, and probably a whole lot more. Because he knew what the presence of God meant to him. The ark coming back to the city of David. You see, David loved the presence of God. He loves the opportunity to be in the house of God and to be wherever the ark is. The ark in those days represented the presence of God. Wherever the ark went, things happen. I said, wherever the ark went, things happen. Good things happen, but also crazy stuff happened. When they took the temple into the temple of Dagon, Dagon fell on his face. They went into, so let me help you, let's go back story. What happened here, the Philistines had captured the ark of God. So what that meant, Ichabod, the glory of God had left. I said the glory of God, the presence of God, the power of God had left Israel, right? So now the ark is coming back. So David is praising God. The Philistine took it away, put it in their temple. Because they probably thought that this is just another good thing for them to worship. Because when you worship idols, you'll worship anything. I'll say that again. They didn't really probably meant to just mock God. They wanted to just worship this God also. It's another addition. You ever notice people who have idols, they always add to their collection? Help me. Yeah, they get one Buddha and then they get a bigger Buddha and then they get a real big Buddha and then they get a golden Buddha and a silver Buddha. You know, they're always adding to their collection. So this was now part of their collection. They now had the ark of God. And what they were saying, we've got the power of Israel. We've got the power of Israel on our side. Because whenever they had this ark, they won. Whenever they followed the God of this ark, they were undefeated. So they put the ark of the Lord. Let me help you with the ark of the Lord. What was in the ark of the Lord? The tablets that Moses received from Mount Sinai. When God wrote the Ten Commandments, he told them how to build the ark. He gave them proper instructions. And I want to say this to you. The ark that was built on art represents the tabernacle in heaven. So the way the ark was built on earth is what the tabernacle in heaven looks like. It's just a smaller version, because God took Moses up on the mountain and showed it to him. So he said, what you have seen, now go and build exactly what I am going to give you, the dimensions, the colors. I'm going to tell you everything you ought to use. Right. So that was the ark. So now they opened the ark and they put the commandments of God in there, which now represented the presence of God in Israel. It represented the presence of God. So the Philistines captured this ark. Israel was in distress. Not because they don't have money, not because they don't have gold, not because they don't have food, but because the presence of God was departed, had departed. So the Philistines took the ark and put it in the temple of Dagon. The first day they came, they saw Dagon on his face. Dagon fell over. So they picked up Dagon. Imagine you picking up your god. You should have laughed. The God that's supposed to help you, you have to help him. They picked up their God and they set him back up nicely. The next day they came, Dagon's head was, he fell this time and his head broke off. So there was no hope for Dagon. Dagon was gone. So now they said, you know what? We can't keep this, because not that only that happened. Sores came out on their skins. Rats everywhere. It was like pestilence was hitting them. So that's why I said, wherever the presence of God is, things happen. Sometimes good, but sometimes bad. When you misuse or you take advantage or you overstep boundaries with God, you are in trouble. The Bible said it is a fearful thing to fall in the hand, not of God, a living God. The living God. Every other gods are just common gods, but this is the living God. So they had messed with the side of God, the little ratchet side of God, the little gangster side of God. Don't step up and try to mess with what I have called holy. So I got news for you. When people step up in your face and decide that they're going to trouble you, the ratchet side of God comes out and he said, don't mess with what I have called holy. I have put my spirit in this one. I have marked this one with the blood. I have put the blood in her so you don't touch her. I put my spirit in her. My power, my anointing is in her. So back up before I get caught in. So they decided, we can't keep the ark of God anymore. It is time for us to return the ark of God. So there was a process. The ark was coming back. Then the ark stopped over at Obed-Edom's house. Remember I said good things or either bad things happen. The Bible says as long as the ark was at Obed-Edom's house, his house flourished. His house flourished. So whenever the presence of God is in a person's life, you can expect prosperity. You can expect to be like a tree planted by the river of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. I want to ask somebody a question, and I know there's multiple of you sitting under my voice. Before you came to the Lord, you were jacked up. You were messed up. You had no hope. You weren't rich. You had nothing to give anybody. But mighty God, you surrendered to God and he turned your life around and he blessed you like Abraham and he made you a blessing. I want to ask, is there anybody like that in here? So that's what I'm talking about. This is why David was dancing. This is why he was twirling and spinning. And he said, if you did it for Obed-Edom, mighty God, look what you've done in my life from afar. Look what you have done from afar. Now the ark was not in Israel when he became king. Without the ark, the problem is with the common man, they don't understand that the God that we serve is omnipotent. He can do anything he wants to do. He's omnipresent. So even if you take the ark is just a representation of his presence, but it is not the presence of God. He would work with the ark or without the ark. He will elevate a man with the ark or without the ark, because he is the creator of heaven and earth. He is Elohim. He is Adonai. He is Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha. He is Shalom. We cannot stop God. But David says, I have seen how God has lifted me. I was a shepherd in my father's house. So Michael looks through the window. She sees him dancing, twirling, leaping. And what she did, the Bible says, she despised him in her heart. People observe you with their eyes. But the despising doesn't have to come out of their mouth. People come and they pat you on the shoulder. They put their hands around you. We're so proud of you. Look what God is doing in your life. Oh, Pastor Sam, look what God is doing. We're so amazed by what God. But in their hearts, they despise you. But mighty God, I got news for you. Man looks at the outside, but God looks in the heart. God sees your true color. You can come to church and tell me you love Jesus, but when you're home, what you're meditating on, some of you sitting right in here and your mind is traveling to and fro. You're not even set on the things of God. I want to tell you, God wants to meet you in your heart today. God is concerned about the condition of your heart. She despised him in her heart. She despised him. And she waited for him to come home. She waited for him. And look what she said. Verse 20. Then David returned to his household. This is after he danced with the people. He went and he blessed the people. He give them gift. But tell somebody, sometimes the greatest battles are in your home. Yes. The greatest fights are with your immediate loved ones. So he went home. He returned, and look what he was returning to do. To bless his household. Yes. The man was excited. The man was saying, hey man, you think I bless the people outside? I'm locked and I'm loaded. I got grease and oil all over me, and I'm going home to smother it on my family, and I'm going to give them the blessings of the Lord, because I am a priest of God. David was not just king. David was a priest. David was a prophet. He operated in all the offices. So he was going home to give, because only David could eat shewbread and not die. Remember when he went to the priest and he took the sword of Goliath? And he ate showbread. That's the priest food. So the man eat priest bread. And the man is going home now as priest to bless his family. But he put up with Michael. And Michael was only fulfilling her assignment. Because her father gave her unto David to be a snare. I want to talk to you all, you who are looking for people to marry. Be careful with the people you pick up. Because some of them are assignments from hell. Some of them are diabolic assignments that the enemy has put at crossroads of your life to pick up. Be careful. Do not become desperate. Stay on your face. Cry. Mourn. Bawl. Say, Jesus, is this what you want for me? Michael was put in his life for this moment. Look what she says. And Michael, the daughter of Saul, you see, she's still carrying baggage, still carrying name. She's still connected to the accursed person who is Saul. Came to meet David. Imagine the presumption. There was no submission. She was ready to tell him off. You know, sometimes wives, I want to help you here. Sometimes we feel like we need to fix our husbands. Women feel like it is their assignment to fix their man. I want to tell you, the word of God says that wives submit to your own husband. Submit, stay under his covering. Don't overstep boundaries. God looks at the family, he sees the man. In the church, there's no husband and wife. You like that part? But in the house and in the family structure, there is husband, wife, children. So now she meets him and she said, meets David and said, oh, how glorious was the king of Israel today? Now she's saying something very nice. She's saying nice words, but you can imagine the look on her face, the attitude she's carrying, her body language. Let me help you. Yeah. Yes. How glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself today in the eyes of the maids of his servant as one of the base fellows shamelessly uncovered himself. So David, look now, she tells him, you are carrying yourself as a simple man. You see, what David had was a relationship with God, not a relationship with the throne. You see, her dad, Saul, had a relationship with the throne and had a relationship with power. Even preachers in church, they come to church and praise and worship is going on and they're standing like this. They're just waiting for the opportunity to come and wow people. But mighty God, Jesus said, you worship me with your lips. It is time for us to get abandoned. When it comes to God, treat him as God. Understand that you are but dust. You are nothing before the Almighty God. If it wasn't for his grace and his mercy, if it wasn't for his keeping power, stop being pompous in the presence of God and worship him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Give him your strength, all that is within me. Bless his holy name. David was dancing. He said, woman, what's wrong with you? Where were you when God took me from the sheepfold? Where were you when the bear came and I defeated the bear and saved the sheep? Where were you when the lion came and I rescued the sheep from the lion's mouth? Where were you when your daddy was trying to kill me and pin me against a wall with a spear? Where were you when the armies of Israel was running me down to kill me? Leave me. Let me praise my God. Give me room. Let me praise my God. Give me room. Let me praise my God. Give me room. Let me praise my God. Room. Tell somebody, excuse me. I've got a reason to praise. When people thought I was going to amount to nothing, when people thought I would never own a house, when people thought I wouldn't be able to pay my school fee, when people thought I would never drive a car, when people thought I would never have children, when people thought all sorts of things, where were you? Tell somebody, ignore the crowd after you've gotten your breakthrough. It is the hardest season when you have received your breakthrough is when temptation comes. We look at rich people and we despise them. But just ask yourself, if you had $1 million today, would you be in church? Caucasians will be calling your name. Paris. Fifth Avenue. What else? Come on, help me, help me. Spa. I am tired. My body needs a massage. I need to go to a spa. Right now you're depending on the Holy Ghost spa because you can barely meet your bills. And you're saying, Lord, if you don't heal me, I will not make it. But watch out. The Bible says the riches and cares, not just cares. We preach is that cares. But the Bible said the sower went out to sow seed. The sower went out to sow seed. Some fell among thorns. And the thorns rose up, and Jesus said, the thorns are the cares. Now, poor people suffer with cares. Rich people suffer with cares. Everybody have cares. Troubles. Everybody got trouble. But not everybody have riches. The second part of the story is cares and riches of this life. Rise up and choke the love of God out of your heart. Be careful what you wish for. Because if you could lose you, the Bible said, what would it profit a man if he gains the whole world but lose his soul? Watch out that riches and treasures and blessings and the breakthrough does not become a stumbling block. Here we see a man, David, that found pleasure in the presence of God. I want to speak to the men of this house. Men, when you come to the house of God, it is time to worship God. Don't let the women have the best part. Don't give the ladies the best part. We are all children of God. We are all worshipers. We are all worshipers. Can I say that again? Listen to me. Don't wear jacket. That's just jacket. She's putting it away. She's not putting nothing inside. Mind the word. You got to learn to come to church and learn what not to look at. When the ushers are moving around, it's not your business. Let them do their thing or go help them. You don't want to do that part. But you want to watch. Oh, there's watchers. You're helping me preach. Thank you. Yes. Yes, don't let blessings steal the love of God out of your heart. Don't let you've been praying about a situation, and the moment you get the breakthrough, I'm not going to breakthrough service no more Friday because I don't need a breakthrough. Why not come and pray for somebody else this Friday and say, God, usher them in. I'm going to stand with them that they can move into their breakthrough. Amen? Oh, come on, we are a brother's keepers. So we got to dance and we got to praise God. No matter what comes our way, when it is good and when it is bad. Can I tell you why? Psalm 22 verse 3. But you, Psalm 22 3 says, but you are holy, O you who are enthroned in the holy place where the praises of Israel are offered. This is where we get the scripture that he inhabits our praises. He inhabits. God is enthroned on your praises. He is enthroned. The foundation of his throne in the earth is in your praises. So what David was doing there was praising God with leaping and twirling. So next week when we come to church, I want to see some leaping and I want to see some twirling. I want to see people dancing before God. Because what? God's throne, the Hebrew word there is yashab, Y-A-S-H-A-B, means to sit, remain, and dwell. God inhabits, he dwells in your praises. Your praises is not for anyone, it is for God. And if God inhabits a thing, guess what happens? Breakthrough takes place. Answers to prayer. Turn around in situation. Give God a place to dwell. The reason God does not come is because he got nowhere to sit. Imagine you invite me to your house and you don't have a place to put me to sit. Imagine I invite you to church and I don't have a chair for you to sit on. You will not come back because you can't stand for hours. But with God, he needs your praises that he could sit. So it is time that we conform to the system of God, to the way God wants things to happen. And not say, oh, I came from a very reserved family. We are very bougie people. We are proper, and we do not engage in these chaotic behaviors. We will not look like a lunatic David said, count me in with the lunatics. Count me in with the crazies. And there was not a man that was higher than Israel, than David in his day. And mighty God, the blessing went from him and it went to Solomon. And the blessing overtook Solomon that even to today's economy, there is not a man that was as rich as Solomon. I want to tell you, when you praise God, it is not only for you, because God comes and he sits, he dwells, and he remains. So the blessing is not only for you, but it goes on to your generation, because God is sitting, God is enthroned, God is exalted. Somebody needs to give God something to sit on. You need to give God something to dwell in. You need to give God something that he can come and take up residence and say, hey, it is too good for me to move. It is too good for me to move. You go to the store and you find a nice chair. You're like, hey, boy, I'm not leaving this one. Anybody ever went to a store? You didn't go to the store to purchase a chair. But you just sat on the thing. And it felt so good. And you're like, either I'm taking you now or I'm definitely coming back for you. That is what we need to do. Give God something to sit. But if you're going to do it, you would have to ignore the crowd. You have to ignore the watchers. You got to ignore the opinions of people. We are held hostage by the opinion of people. We are held hostage by what people say and by what people will do. We're also held hostage by what people will say. I want to tell you, it is time for us to become strong in the Lord. The Bible said, they that know their God, they will be strong. Find your identity in God. Be rooted, be grounded, be settled in God. Do not move to the right, do not move to the left, but stay grounded. Is there anybody that's saying, I'm going to praise him? So you ignore the crowd when you need a breakthrough, when you've gotten your breakthrough. But the last one is now when you've found your purpose. To fulfill purpose in the kingdom of God, it requires a posture. To fulfill purpose in the kingdom of God, it requires posture. Matthew 19, 27, 28. This is Peter speaking. Then Peter answered and said to him, see. There's a lot of seeing and watching going on. You realize that in this? He said, see. He's telling the Lord Jesus. He's saying, Lord, see. 19:27. It says, see, we have left all. We have what? We have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have? You see, Peter was bold and he said, God, I have dropped it all. I have given up everything. I have surrendered my career as a fisherman. When you met me, I was at the shore of Galilee. And I was working. I was busy working. And you said, come and follow me. Peter could not have carried his career with him because Jesus said, come and I will teach you how to catch men. He said, you're fishing fish, but come with me and I will teach you how to catch men. Now, that's not for the ladies. Jesus can't tell me how to catch men. He said, I'll make you fishers of people. That's what he was saying. So now Peter could not hold on. He could not have held on to what he knew. He had to have let go. If you're going to fulfill purpose in the kingdom of God, there will be some letting go. You're going to have to let go of what you're accustomed to. You're going to have to let go of some words you used to speak. You're going to have to let go of some associates. You're going to have to let go of even your dreams. Peter said, I have left all. I didn't leave just the fishing and kept my dream. Sometimes we come into the kingdom with preconceived meditations, ideas, preconceived ideas of what things should look like, what my life is going to pan out like. Whoa, by the time I'm 30, I want to be married, I want to have my house, I want to have this car. Preconceived, but we never stop and say, Lord, what is your will for my life? I want to help somebody. When Jesus was praying, he said, pray, let your will be done. Let your will be done. Peter said, Lord, we have left everything. We have surrendered it all. But hear what he said. He said, what shall we have? Now, that was the next question. Look, Jesus answered to him. He said, surely I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. There is no higher honor than to sit side by side. Sit side by side with God. And don't the word of God says that we are seated in heavenly places with him. We are already seated. But these 12, because of their initial obedience, they were the first ones that received the call. He said, always remember this, there's a blessing in the first. There's a special blessing on the first. That is why we tithe first. We don't give God the second 10%, third 10%, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, 10. No. We give him the first tenth. There is a blessing in the first. So in order to fulfill your purpose, you will have to ignore the crowd and surrender all. Imagine when Peter decided to follow Jesus, the ridicule that they received. This man is not even established. Nobody knows Jesus. Why are you following Jesus? There were many messiahs that came before. There were many messiahs that people that came and said that they are the messiah. You're going to just end up like one of them. So Peter's made, they stepped out in faith. I want to tell you, when you're going to follow the Lord, you may not get every answer that you want. You may not see everything you need to see at the beginning. But he said, these are the promises we hold. But lo, I am with you. I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Meaning there is no forsaking. You will not be abandoned on the journey. He said, in this life, you will have many trials and tribulations, but I have overcome them all. Let's go over to Romans 1. You see, the posture of these men, they lost their identity, meaning their own will. They lost their wills. Romans 1 says, verse 1 to 4, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle and what? Separated. What was he? Separated. If you're going to follow Jesus, you have to be willing to separate. He said, come out from among them. Be separated. He said, you're in this world, but you're not of the world. Meaning you're not of the behavior of the world. Too many of us want to come to church, but still behave, carry on, speak, indulge like the world. We want to revel with the world and identify as a child of God. I want to tell you, there's even people today telling you that you can still cuss and be a Christian. When the word of God said, let no filthy communication proceed out of your mouth. Every word that you speak, you're going to have to give account. They're saying you can go to church and you could still go get jacked up Saturday night and just barely slide into church on Sunday. It is time for us to be separate. You're going to have to ignore people, ignore the crowd, because they're going to say, come on, man, you're acting soft. You're acting soft. Since when you get so soft? And they'll say things like, you know we need you down here, man. The party is not the same without you. Tell them, go along, sir. Yeah. Tell them, go away. You got to get brave. Say, leave me alone. Get out of here. Whatever works for you, say it. Say, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I resist you. Sometimes you got to speak to some people as if you're speaking to the devil. Because they're going to never move until they see that you recognize the spirit that is working behind them. Listen, when Peter spoke, what did Jesus say? Satan, I rebuke you. He wasn't rebuking Peter. He was rebuking the spirit that was working through him. It is time for us to get radical, church. If you're going to go and fulfill your purpose with God, you're going to have to separate yourself and be radical about it. And says, I'm surrendered to God. Come what may. It doesn't matter if you like it or you don't. So long. Bye-bye. Paul said, I'm a bondservant. I was a murderer of Christians. I had authority among the religious class. I was well known in many circles. Men look up to me. You see, these men, not all of them were just fishermen. Luke was a doctor. These were men that were sold out to God. Matthew was a rich man. He was a tax collector. But all of them said, Lord, we have left all and we are following you. So today, if you're a doctor, you're a lawyer, you're a pediatrician, you're a surgeon, you need to separate yourself from the world and follow Christ. That is the only way. When you have found your purpose, when you have found your purpose, you still have to ignore what people says. Because people are going to challenge you every step of the way. Every step of the way you're going to be challenged. And you're going to be challenged by even opportunities presenting itself. You got to know what opportunities to walk into and what opportunities to walk from. Because the Bible says even Satan can come as an angel of light. So watch out for good things that appear to be from God. But on the background, in the background, the devil is working, trying to impose his agenda on your life. We got to get to the place that says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. I have died with him. When he went on the cross, his flesh took beating. My flesh took beating too. My carnal desires has taken a whooping. They have been marred with his stripes. So my taste buds got changed when they put vinegar in my mouth, because they put vinegar in his mouth. So when he scorched me, my appetite is not for the things of the world anymore, but I have an appetite for the things of God. So now that I'm a child of God and I'm walking with him and I'm going to fulfill my destiny, I will not be tossed around, but I'm going to stay on course and I will ignore the crowd. I am crucified with Christ. No longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. And this life, I live in the flesh. Huh. I live by faith. What I live by? Don't try to be a Christian. A lot of us try to be Christians. Oh, I'm going to get holy this week. Oh, I'm going to be righteous this week. You know what? After my birthday, watch this, how the devil deceives us. After my 40th, I'm going all in. You ever heard people say things like that? Yes. Yeah. After I get married, I'm going all in. Some people never live to see the wedding day. Some people never live to see 40. Because what? The enemy is out to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But the promise stands. The promise said, I am come that you might have life. Jesus is offering us life. How do we receive that life? It is by faith. We receive it by faith. So your righteousness is not of works, Ephesians 2:8 and 9. Your righteousness is of faith. God imputes his righteousness to you. So if you're sitting in here and you have not made a conscious decision to follow Jesus, I want to tell you, it is time for you to start living by faith. Walk with Jesus by faith. faith. He didn't call it to work by works. The works are going to come. But you just get on purpose and say, Lord, I'm walking with you. I'm going all the way with you. I don't know how this church stuff works. I don't know how all this Jesus Holy Ghost stuff works. But guess what I'm doing? I'm going to just do it. Tell somebody, just do it. Tell them, just do it. Tell one more person, just do it. By faith. By what? Faith. Not by Nike. By faith. Your TN and whatever those Nike shoes are called, Yasari, what was it thing called? What's it called? Yeezys. And all that stuff. No, there's the Nike Yachari or something like that. Some weird name. Karachi. You see that? That's a Harachis. Harachis. I'm sorry. Not Karachi. Help me, Lord. I'm not a big Nike fan. They hurt my feet. It's a shame. If I wear Nike, I got to wear 14. And that sounds really bad. I don't want to pass 13, okay? Good. So, yeah. Everybody's like, whoa, Pastor, you got some big feet. Yes, I do. I'm standing on the promises with them. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes, so we have to walk by faith and go all in. We got to have an Esther attitude. If we're going to fulfill our purpose, we have to have an Esther attitude. Esther said, Mordecai, I'm going in. I am a Jewish girl, and I'm not expected to be in the king's palace. I'm not one of them hoochie mamas. But I'm going to go and I'm going to get oil down. And I'm going to go set up because purpose is on my name. I said purpose is on my name. And God has put me as an interceptor to the works of the devil. I want to tell you, church, see yourself as an interceptor. Not only an intercessor, but you are one that will stop the plan of the adversary for your family. The devil thought that he could put a curse on your bloodline, but you are standing up and you're saying, watch it, devil. I'm here to interrupt your plan. I'm here to stop your show. I'm here to shut you down. I'm an interceptor. Esther said, I'm an interceptor. Haman wants to wipe us out, but I'm going in. And I'm going in good and strong. And all I want you to do, Mordecai, is to keep praying. All I want you to do is go and tell all of Israel to fast, to pray. And guess what? I'm not going in just like that. I'm going to fast. You see, sometimes we love to put the burden on other people. We put the burden on other people to pray for us. When God has called you to be a disciple, He has called you to be strong in the Lord. He has called you to be outfitted. He has given you an armor, but you refuse to put it on. He said, Esther said, her attitude was, I'm going to fast on all my maidens. She didn't leave the people out of her. You see, what happens with us, our children, we leave them out of fasting. I'm going to say that again. Parents, we leave our children out of fasting and prayer. You know, our household, I'm just using this as an example. Whenever we fast, our children fast. Yeah. If we fast for 21 days, 90% of the 21 days, Theo and Anna fast with us. And sometimes they look so bad, their mom feels so bad for them because Theo's eye goes in and he becomes so bony. But guess what? They see an example from us. We don't have to tell them, boy, you need to fast. No, the moment, we have never done that. The moment we said that we are fasting, because they see the workings of God in our life. Nothing is greater than a testimony. Nothing is greater than an example. Too many of us want to tell people to serve God, but we ourselves are not serving God. We want our children and our family members to serve God, but we don't want to serve God. So what Esther was doing, she said, I'm going to serve God with you. She said, you're fasting? I'm going to fast. My maidens are going to fast. And she said, I'm going in. And if I perish, I perish. If I die, I die. But guess what? It's better I die than my whole nation die. But she was knowing the faithfulness of God. And they've read the word of God. And they've seen the power of God. The delivering power of God over and over in the word. He did it for Abraham. He did it for Isaac. He did it for Jacob. He did it for Samuel. He did it for Moses. He did it for Joshua. And now they were in a situation again. And she said, Haman is going to wipe us out. But I'm going in. I'm looking for somebody that is saying, I'm going into the presence of God. I'm going deep with God. And I'm going to fulfill my purpose in God. It is time for us to be radical, church. Enough blush Christianity. Enough mascara Christianity. Enough nice outfit Christianity. I can't mess up my nice outfit. I don't know if you noticed, but as soon as I walk in, I lay on my face. Because I'm here to meet God. I love you guys. But you better believe when Pastor Sam comes to church, I'm here to meet Jesus. I'm here to receive from Jesus. I'm nothing without Jesus. I can do nothing with him. I do all things through him who strengthens me. I want to tell somebody, get an Esther mentality and ignore everybody. Everybody was probably saying, the king don't want no Jewish girl. But she said, you see this Jewish girl, when him see this, him can't deny it. Because this one is anointed and this one is appointed as an interceptor of the works of the devil. I want to ask somebody, are you ready to ignore the crowd? Yes. Are you ready to ignore the watchers? Yes. Are you ready to separate yourself to God? Yes. Are you ready to praise him? Yes. Stand on your feet. Let us pray.